The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Boston D party. What happened to Miami's offense last night in Boston? We will start right there. Plus, the broomsticks are out in Dallas tonight. Are the Warriors heading toward another dynasty? And what would that mean for Steph's legacy? And who is running the offense in New England? Bill Belichick got some questions about how things are going to work there this year, and he didn't sound too thrilled to be answering them. Good morning. I am Dan Graziano in for Mike Greenberg here in Bristol today, and it is a busy morning. With OTAs underway, we have a ton of football to get to. We've got Diana Rossini, Mike Tannenbaum, Sam Acho, and Marcus Spears will be by later. Look at this crew. We are going to talk plenty of NFL, but Kendrick Perkins and J.J. Redick are here to talk about the NBA Game 4 between the Heat and the Celtics, and that is where we begin today's show with our game of the night. Celtics hosting the Heat for Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Heat up 2-1. Marcus Smart out for the Celtics with an ankle injury. Wasn't going to matter. Celtics got off to a hot start. First quarter, they're up 10-1. Off the miss by Max Strus. Jason Tatum secures the rebound and takes it down the floor for the layup. Celtics up 11. Just under 6 minutes remaining now. Strus turns it over. They're going to go all the way down the floor. White dishes it to Tatum for the dunk. Puts the Celtics up 13. Great pass. Great finish. The Heat missed their first 14 field goals, the longest such streak to begin a playoff game in the last 25 years. Second quarter, Celtics leading by 18. Tatum drives and finishes off the glass. Take another look at this drive and finish by Tatum. Celtics up by 20 points. Under 7 minutes left in the second quarter. Off the assist from White. Tatum fighting for the layup. He finished with 24 points in the first half. Celtics were up by 24 at the break. Third quarter, Celtics leading 65-37. White finds Tatum, who spins and hits the fadeaway off the glass. Tatum blocks Victor Oladipo from behind. This is later in the third quarter. Everything was going the Celtics' way. 4.5 left in the third. Tatum with the block on Oladipo. Peyton Pritchard takes it down the floor, finds Jaylen Brown for the layup. Tatum doing it on both ends of the court in this game. Celtics win it 102-82. They tie the series at 2 games apiece. Tatum had 31 points, and here's what he had to say when it was over.
I didn't doubt myself. You know, I know how to play basketball, and regardless how many points I scored, just trying to come out and help us get a win, you know, that was just most important.
No excuse for how I played tonight. I don't got nothing to do with my knee. I just got to be better. Will be better. I'm not too worried about it.
Miami's starting five combined for just 18 points in this game. That is the lowest total ever in a playoff game since we've been tracking starter production. Victor Oladipo outscored the entire starting five by himself off the bench. First time that has ever happened in a playoff game. So, we want to talk about this, as I mentioned, with our J.J. Redick and Kendrick Perkins. Perk, how does Miami show up at Game 4 and do something like that where the starters only score 18 points? How does that happen?
Well, first of all, they struggle in half-court sets. I want y'all to think about this for a second. The Boston Celtics shot 39% from the field, 23% from three, and won the game by 20. Jaylen Brown was 5-for-20 from the field. Look, if you don't turn the basketball over against the Miami Heat, you could beat them. But here's the other thing. Who's the second best player on this team? It's Bam Adebayo, and he has been struggling. He's been asking for people to give him his respect. In these Eastern Conference Finals, he's averaging 14.7 rebounds and three blocks. When they played 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals, he averaged 22-11-5. Unless Bam decides to show up and be consistent, the second best consistent player on the Heat team, they're going to lose this series. I got them losing anyway, but listen, Bam has to show up to the party and be consistent throughout this series, and he hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're probably going to lose if Tatum can play the way he played in game four. JJ, I mean, you're looking at Tatum last night, and, I mean, he looked a lot better, obviously, than he did in game three. Is this what we can expect to see from him going forward?
Well, you know, at times it feels like the experience is a little bit of a roller coaster. I'll give you some context here. You know, he's played in 48 games since the last time he lost back-to-back games. And coming off a loss during that 48-game stretch, he's averaging 32 a game on 51% shooting. Can he please do that after a win? Like, that's what we all need to see. And that's honestly what top 10 players do. He's had some great stretches, and he's had some back-to-back games. But for them to close out this series, he's got to be fantastic. And to your point, Perk, on Bam, sometimes it looks like he's looking for permission to be aggressive. There were so many times last night where he had one-on-one like he did in game three when he was very successful and he wasn't able to score. Sometimes he didn't even shoot. I got to give Al Horford a lot of credit. Bam killed him in game three, shot 6-for-7 against him as the primary defender. I thought Al Horford had the best five-point game I've seen in a long time. He was all over the floor last night.
I agree, JJ. And listen, it's not just about Al Horford. But look, Al Horford showed up, and you're absolutely right, but it's the tandem, right? Having Robert Williams back allow Al Horford to be the best version of himself, knowing that he has that safety net in the back to protect the basket. And when Robert Williams is at his best, the Celtic defense go to a whole nother level. Just think about it. 82 points the Miami Heat scored, and Boston didn't even have their defensive player of the year in Marcus Smart. So, you know, I'm right there with you. Look, Jason Tatum has to be consistent. But if you don't turn the ball over against the Miami Heat, look, they're going to struggle and you're going to win that game.
Yeah.
The other point about Robert Williams that I just wanted to make is if you look at the teams left in the playoffs, there's no real vertical threat at the rim besides Robert Williams. And you saw a few times last night on dribble penetration, them just being able to lob the ball up at the rim and him finish. That's something that the other teams do not have. And he unlocked something in the half court a little bit for them, not only with the lob threat, but his offensive rebound. He had a number of putbacks last night. I thought he was great, and hopefully, I know he was limping towards the end of the game, but hopefully he's available for game five and going forward.
So, obviously, the Celtics are a lot more, as you guys are discussing, than Tatum. But, JJ, I did want to follow up on your comment about Tatum and his inconsistency game to game. If it's going to be like that with him, can the Celtics win a championship if he's in and out like that from game to game?
Well, so far they've gotten by with a certain level of inconsistency. And look, I'm not saying that Jason Tatum has to shoot 50% from the field every night. It's more about combining aggression with good decision-making. And there's been a few games during this playoffs where I thought his decision-making has been subpar. And on top of that, he hasn't shot the ball well. And that those games are really the games that have hurt the Celtics.
Perk, we're down to a best of three now in this series. Who has the edge?
Oh, it's the Boston Celtics. I mean, they're the better team. They have more offensive weapons. You look at them winning that game last night without Marcus Smart. And Jaylen Brown shot 5-for-20. Look, again, the Heat struggle in the half-court set. You take care of the basketball. I believe Jason Tatum has found his stride. I agree with J.J. Redick. Look, he has to put consecutive games together where he's not going 3-for-14 one night and then having a 30-point night the next night. So I think Jason Tatum is going to have one of those follow-up games in game five, which I feel like the Celtics are going to close it out in six.
J.J., you agree?
I do think the Celtics have the edge in the series. I think they are the better team. It's hard to sort of count the Heat out in terms of getting one more game, but whether it goes 6 or 7, I think the Celtics are going to win this series.
All right, we'll continue to follow that along. Western Conference tonight, Eastern Conference Game 5 will be tomorrow. We're going to go to the NFL now and play a game of big deal or not a big deal. We're going to start with Diana Russini. Diana, Kyler Murray is not attending voluntary OTAs for the Arizona Cardinals. Is this a big deal or not?
Dan, I actually think it is a big deal. I think there's some off-the-field stuff that could help Kyler by showing that he's the true leader, the face of this franchise. We know he wants that contract, and he wants to get it done before training camp. But also, he could use the reps. He hasn't shown a lot of growth over the last 3 years, Dan.
Sam Acho, Deebo Samuel, the 49ers' disgruntled wide receiver, is not at OTAs. No surprise, because he is disgruntled. But is it a big deal?
Not a big deal at all. Why? Because the San Francisco 49ers know how valuable Deebo Samuel is to their franchise. They will make sure to get Deebo a long-term contract, i.e. a big extension. This dude needs to get paid a whole lot more money. San Fran understands it, so I don't have any issues with him sitting out of OTAs.
Mike Tannenbaum, Green Bay Packers starting OTAs. Their quarterback Aaron Rodgers not present. Is it a big deal?
This is a big, big, big deal. You're not there with Valdez Scantling. You're not there with Davante Adams. You should be picking Christian Watson up from the airport and showing him the area. You don't need the refs, Aaron Rodgers, but you're our CEO. If you're there, everybody else needs to be there.
You know, when Mike Tannenbaum was a GM, he was not allowed to say these things publicly about his players because the Players Association will push back and argue because the workouts are, in fact, voluntary. But now he's on TV, he can say whatever he wants. Diana, when you talk to coaches and folks around the league, what are they saying about, you know, OTAs and attendance and that kind of thing behind the scenes?
Yeah, Dan, this is always one of those topics where you have the player perspective, which I'm sure we're going to hear in a second here. And then, of course, you have the front office and the coaches, the assistants, and how they see this. And look, you can't find a coach in the NFL right now who doesn't want every single player on his roster there. Very few will say, ah, it's okay that our quarterback's not here, or, oh, it's okay that our wide receiver slash running back superstar is not here. But at the end of the day, they know the more reps, the better. And I understand this time of year, there's a lot of repeat of what they're going to be doing come training camp, come summer. But in terms of just being around each other, because of the rules, coaches want to get as much time as possible as they look as this could be an advantage, which is why you see a lot of teams that have their full roster there. They are moving and grooving right now and obviously in good spirits, knowing that their main superstars are there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's what they want. But we also have former player and NFLPA executive council member Sam Acho on the show today. And look, Sacho, I mean, this is one of the things you guys fought for, right, in the last couple CBAs is to make these voluntary. So explain why, from a player's perspective, the teams can afford to have them be that.
Yeah, teams can afford not to have all their players at OTAs because OTAs in a lot of ways do not matter. You look at the teams like the LA Rams, they had one of the shortest OTA periods last year and they won a Super Bowl. Cincinnati Bengals was another team as well. They didn't have a long OTAs and they were in the Super Bowl. And so that's number one. Number two, Diana alluded to it, but a lot of players, superstar players in particular, they don't need these practices. Even some starters don't need these practices. It's the rookies, the second year players, the guys who are still trying to figure out their way in the league that, quote, need these practices. And even with that, a lot of teams know who their starters are. And so it doesn't really matter whether Kyler Murray's there, Deebo Samuel's there, Aaron Rodgers, the two-time MVP who wasn't there the last 2 years, isn't there. It doesn't matter.
Tannenbaum, obviously, final word for you. You disagree.
I disagree with my friend Sam here because, again, it's the ultimate team sport. So it may be how you take notes, how you hydrate, how do you recover. There's a lot of intangibles and team building that could go on at OTAs well beyond any drill on the field.
All right. More NFL content coming up later in the show. When we come back on Get Up, we're going to go to New England and we're going to talk about who's running the offense there. Bill Belichick got some questions about it yesterday, and as you might expect, he took a little bit of a grumpy tone when answering them. Plus, are Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors about to launch a second dynasty? And if they do, what would that mean for Steph's legacy? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Hanes. Stay cool, stay supported with the all-new X-Temp Total Support Pouch. Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And we have Aaron. I need some clarity on this. Is this a real-sized water bottle in the hands of an actual giant? Is it some sort of smaller water bottle? I need to know. And we don't have answers, but Aaron Judge making this water bottle look tiny. He also hit a couple home runs last night. Hey, in the NFL, OTAs got underway in New England on Monday, and Bill Belichick, the legendary defensive head coach, spent almost his entire day working with the Patriots offense. He was also asked just who will be the Patriots offensive play caller this season. Here's what he had to say.
Well, what plays are we calling?
Well,
mini camp plays?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. We're going to coach the team, coach the players. We're going to get them ready to go. We're going to game plan. We have to game plan. We'll play call. Do all the things that we need to do and compete in games. Right now, we're months away from that. When we get to it, we'll get to it.
Mini camp plays. I think those would be very interesting. I guess they probably don't call minicamp plays in minicamp. Hey, so what do we make of this? Like, this has been a big topic, right? Who's going to run the offense? Josh McDaniels, a longtime offensive coordinator, leaves to become the head coach of the Raiders. Diana, let's start with you. What are you hearing out of New England about how this is going to work?
Look, everyone in the league knows how Bill Belichick likes to run this organization, and he likes to keep it in the family. So this makes a lot of sense. He trusts his staff. He trusts that the people around him know what they're doing and believe in the same system he does. And oh yeah, we also all know that nothing happens, nothing gets done without Bill's eyes and hands all over it. So it really doesn't matter when it comes down to it who's going to be calling plays, because Bill's going to be all over it. And they're going to have to prove that they can make improvements here, because their offense, as we've seen the last few seasons, been a little flat.
Mike T, you know Bill Belichick well over the years. What'd you make of his comments? It seemed like it was about what we would have expected him to say.
Yeah, exactly. He was just telling the local media it doesn't matter. And look, the bottom line is this, Dan. He has a lot of confidence in Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, two guys are transitioning from one side to the ball to the other, something he's done with other coaches. What's interesting to me is it's really been the defense that struggled, and that's led by his son. So that's something that's kind of interesting in terms of to keep an eye on as the season goes along. If we go back to the playoff game, Buffalo Bills never punted, and I think Mac Jones actually got better on offense. So when you look at the trajectory of the New England Patriots right now, I think their offense has an arrow up with a young quarterback in Mac Jones and a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. And look, I mean, yes, that is fair. But when they were good last year, it was the defense that was kind of carrying them. The offense under rookie Mac Jones, then rookie Mac Jones, did a little bit here and there. But the hope is that it would be better, right, Sacho? I mean, are they in trouble here on offense?
Dan, am I the only one that read the news that Josh McDaniels is no longer the offensive coordinator for the Patriots? I mean, what are we talking about? Josh McDaniels was there for each and every one of the Super Bowls in the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick era. Yes, all six of them. Josh McDaniels was also the offensive coordinator back in that 06 to 08, his first stint as offensive coordinator, when the Patriots were undefeated. Josh McDaniels is no longer with the New England Patriots. New England, we have a problem. We're throwing out names like Joe Judge. We're throwing out names like Matt Patricia coaching the offense. And there's a stat that Hembo, I'm sure, put up. Josh McDaniels has been with Bill Belichick for 253 games. And so all this success that we talk about with the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, a lot of that can be attributed to Josh McDaniels, and he is no longer there. And so, yes, I do take issue with the fact that Bill Belichick, the defensive-minded, special teams-minded coach, is going to be all hands in on the offense, because Josh McDaniels was the mastermind behind the success that we saw offensively in New England.
You know, Mike T, I think we touched on this a little bit yesterday, but somebody once told me about Belichick that one of his things is he wants to have a core group of coaches that he trusts completely, and he doesn't really go much beyond that. So I wasn't surprised that he didn't bring in an external offensive coordinator. I mean, is this in character for him, from your experience?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Dan. When you go back, you look at Coach Belichick's career himself. He was special teams, defense, and obviously now a head coach. And you look at guys like Brian Daboll, Eric Mangini, they were on both sides of the ball in the formative parts of their career. So it is clear to me that he has great belief in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, regardless of what side of the ball they may be on.
Dan, do you think there's pressure on Belichick taking a risk like this and trying to replace McDaniels, or no?
Look, I think Bill has proven that he is the greatest coach of all time. And I think that leash, he'll always get length from ownership just because of what he's achieved. So I don't necessarily think there is pressure. Offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia, no longer there, but I can tell you from talking to some people, he still is very much in touch with the New England Patriots, and we know just a phone call away in case they need some help. So altogether, I don't think there's any pressure on Bill if he goes out this season and they don't have crazy amounts of success. No way.
Well, we'll surely keep a close eye on that situation up in New England up to and through the season. I want to talk about hockey now. We're going to transition to the NHL. Andre Vasilevsky and the Lightning trying to complete the sweep of the Florida Panthers in the Battle of Florida. Just under 14 minutes left in the third period. It is scoreless. Zach Bogosian keeps the puck in the offensive zone, and Patrick Maroon whacks it out of the air and into the goal. Look at this. Is his second goal of the postseason. Unbelievable goal. Tampa Bay up 1-0. Just under 40 seconds left. Panthers have pulled their goalie, and they have a two-man advantage on a power play. Gustav Forsling hits a slap shot and stopped by Vasilevsky, who would get some help from his defense. Hit 49 saves on the night. Lightning clear the puck. Andre Palat scores the empty net goal. Take another look at the save. Unbelievable work by Vasilevsky. Has 6 shutouts and series clinching wins. That's the most in playoff history. Lightning win 2-0. Sweep the Panthers and advance to the conference finals. Coming up, the Broomsticks will be out tonight in Dallas. What do you hear what Big Perk says another title would mean to Steph's legacy? And help wanted in Los Angeles. LeBron needs a coach. But does anybody want this job? You've got questions. We've got answers when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up with our game of the night, Celtics hosting the Heat for Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics got off to a real hot start in this one. Let's go to the first quarter. They're up 10-1. Off the miss by Max Strus. Jason Tatum secures the rebound. He's going to take it all the way down the floor. Lay it up and in. Celtics up by 11. Just under 6 minutes left in the first. Same score. Strus turns it over. Derek White going to dish it up to Tatum for the dunk. Great pass. Great finish. The Heat missed their first 14 field goals. That's the longest such stretch to begin a playoff game in the last 25 years. Celtics were up 29-11 after the first. Second quarter, Celtics by 18. Tatum drives. He finishes off the glass. Take another look at this. Tatum had a big night. He had 24 points in the first half, and the Celtics had a 24-point lead at halftime. 4.5 minutes left in the third. Celtics up 29. Tatum's going to block Victor Oladipo from behind. Peyton Pritchard taking it down the floor. Finds Jaylen Brown for the layup. Celtics had a good time. Tatum did it on both ends of the floor. Celtics won the game 102-82. They tied the series at 2 games apiece. Here's Heat coach Eric Spoelstra.
Whatever they've done to us, we can do to them. You know, none of us are happy about what happened tonight. You know, this is part of the playoffs. There are these extreme highs and lows, particularly when you have two teams that are pretty closely evenly matched.
Can Spoelstra's Heat bounce back tomorrow night? We will have Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. The Countdown crew will get things started at 7:30 Eastern. That is tomorrow. Warriors are looking to sweep the Dallas Mavericks tonight in the Western Conference Finals. They're up 3-0. It would be Golden State's first sweep if they pull it off since the 2019 Western Conference Finals against the Trailblazers. And the Warriors would head back to the NBA Finals for the first time in 3 years, but the sixth time in 8 years. According to Caesars Sportsbook, Golden State is the odds-on favorite to win the championship. Since Steve Kerr took over as head coach, the Warriors have yet to lose any playoff series other than the NBA Finals. That's a pretty good stat on Kerr. That's impressive. Hey, we're back with J.J. Redick and Kendrick Perkins. Perk, again, the disclaimer is they still have to win one more game to get to the finals. Mm-hmm. But no one's ever come back from 3-0 down. We know this. So looking good for the Warriors. If they get there and they win another title, what does that do for Steph Curry and his place in history?
Oh, hey, Dan, J.J., I need y'all to keep a cool booty on this one and listen to what the hell I'm about to say, okay? When it comes down to Steph Curry, if he goes on to win another championship along with a finals MVP, one is going to put him in the top 10 conversation of greatest player of all time. Two is going to move him as the number one point guard to ever play the game. And think about this. I want you to think about this. Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain are the only guys, the only players in NBA history to win multiple championships, multiple scoring titles, and multiple MVPs. Steph Curry will imprint and be now on NBA Mount Rushmore. When you think about a generation of talent that has changed the game forever at a point guard position, he made shots that will put you on the bench cool again. And think about this. His three championships, who were they won against? LeBron James. And Steph Curry has been a disruptor, breaking up happy homes. You think about the 3-1 lead that the Oklahoma City Thunder team blew against them, and all of a sudden he broke up Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and KD went and joined him to have to win the championship. So look, with Steph Curry, the green-eyed assassin, if he goes on to win a fourth NBA title with a finals MVP, forget the top 10 list. Forget the greatest point guard of all time. He's going to be on the NBA Mount Rushmore, period.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Mount Rushmore is four spots, as everybody knows. But Kendrick's got, he's got his money where his mouth is. He even told us who he would bump off Mount Rushmore to put Curry on there. And the answer is Magic Johnson. So, J.J., I don't know if you can see this. He's got Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, and now Steph Curry. This assumes five more wins from Steph Curry and the Warriors this in the coming weeks. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we're all getting a little ahead of ourselves because I think the Celtics are going to win the championship. But anyways, Perk, Steph's already a top 10 player to me and should have a finals MVP. Look, he's the only guy that's averaged 25, 5, and 5 on a winning team in the finals and not won MVP. He's done that three times. He should have won in 2015. He's a top 10 player, and he changed the game. I agree with all of that. When we talk about the Mount Rushmore, those guys are ultimately judged by MVPs, finals MVPs, and championships. Magic's got three MVPs, three finals MVPs, five championships. Kareem has six MVPs, two finals MVPs, and six championships. He's not bumping those guys off if he wins more and wins one more finals MVP.
Yeah.
Look, I think he's in that next tier already. When we talk about Wilt and Bill Russell and Larry and Tim Duncan, Kobe, of course, Shaq, like those are the guys that are in that mix for spots 5 through 10. But to me, Magic is still going to be number four.
Well, JJ, let me tell you something. First of all, this is not an individual sport like boxing and tennis where championships define your legacy. This is a team game. Now, championships help define your legacy. But when you look at his individual greatness, when you look at him being 6'2", not being able to live above the rim, not being an athletic freak of nature, and doing what he's doing, the pure dominance that he has put on this game, from his shooting ability, being the greatest shooter of all time. Like you said, averaging 25, 6, and 5 for his career at the point guard position, changing the game of basketball forever, JJ. How can he not bump somebody out of the Mount Rushmore? We get so caught up in the NBA championships, and I get all that, right? They do matter. They help enhance a person's legacy, but it don't define. This is a team game.
I've been saying, Perk, for the last 7 months since I signed a deal with ESPN that basketball is a team sport and players are not just defined by a championship. I am so sick and tired of ring culture. Unfortunately, when we talk about the Mount Rushmore, that plays a major role, and you know that, Perk. And, of course, Steph changed the game, but his size has nothing to do with whether or not he deserves a top four spot on the Mount Rushmore. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
Why does it? Tell me a guy that's been that dominant at that size that changed the game. He's been dominant at what he do. We haven't seen a guy like Steph Curry ever. His size.
You're right. We have not seen a player like Steph Curry. He is one of one. I agree with you on that.
So his size do matter. Right.
All right, we'll obviously have a lot of time to debate this, especially because it looks like we're going to be talking about the Warriors for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. I want to spin it forward a little bit, though, and play a little game of NBA fact or fiction. Going to throw out a statement here, and you tell me whether it is fact or fiction. Kendrick Perkins, the first one is, Kevin Durant regrets leaving the Warriors. Is that fact or fiction?
That got to be facts. And look, if he tell you anything different, he's a lie and the truth ain't nowhere near. Look, you left a culture that was established, a culture that has stability, and you left that to go be with Kyrie Irving that you can't depend on. This is all the way fact.
JJ, James Harden will be a 76er next season. Is that fact or fiction?
That's fact. The Sixers gave up a lot to get Harden. In some fashion, he'll be back. And whether that's him opting in and playing out his current contract or the Sixers signing him to a long-term extension, he will be back with the 76ers.
Kendrick Perkins, the Lakers coaching job is not an attractive opening. Fact or fiction?
That's fiction. Look, any head coaching job in the NBA is attractive. Let's not get it twisted. I understand they had a lot going on this season, but we're talking about one of the most historical franchises in sports history with one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to ever play the game that's on this roster. It's attractive.
Thoughts, JJ?
I want to go back to the Kevin Durant thing, actually, because I'm going to say fiction on that. Because, you know, Kevin has talked about this publicly a bunch, but, you know, he wanted to go have his own team. That the Golden State Warriors were always going to be Steph Curry's team. And he knew for his legacy and all that, he had to go win elsewhere. And I think every player, Perk, you went through this as a player as well. Like, you make decisions in the moment and you live with the results. You don't look back and regret decisions you made. There's so much that goes into every decision, whether that was the decision to leave OKC, whether that was the decision to leave Golden State. There's so much that goes into that. You have to live with the decision. I don't think he regrets that at all. And on the Lakers thing, I agree partially with you because I do think the context of who it is attractive to or unattractive to matters, right? A head coaching job at any level, you know, on any team in the NBA is attractive to some people, while for some people I think the Lakers job is unattractive.
Look, someone's going to end up getting the job. According to our Adrian Wojnarowski, the Lakers have a list of three finalists. Includes Milwaukee Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and former Portland Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts. That is the list as reported by Woj. One person who doesn't seem all that impressed with that list is Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett, who shared this on Instagram. Man, are the Lakers serious? Not serious about trying to be better with the situation, better the situation with that list of coaches, and then a lot of sort of laughing, crying emojis. KG making it clear that he doesn't love the list of Lakers finalists. Per KG, your former teammate, what do you make of what he had to say about that list?
Well, my former teammate, my brother, my mentor, but he's dead wrong. When you look at a guy like Darvin Ham, a guy that's been on the bench, a guy that has done his has paid his dues as a longtime assistant, an NBA champion, a guy, a former player. I think he's deserving to being in the head coach's seat. If you look around the NBA right now, you look at former players that have taken over, you know, head coaching jobs, look at the success rate. Look at what they're doing. Look at Ime Udoka right now. Look at Jason Kidd. Look at the success that they're having with their young ball club. So, Darvin Ham, I think he's well-deserving. Terrence Stotts, we saw what he did with Portland for 8.5 years, 9 years. Kenny Atkinson, before, you know, things went south, and I believe with Brooklyn. I mean, he has shown us that he's a pretty damn good coach, so I have to disagree with KG on this.
How about you, JJ?
Well, again, I agree with Perk here in that I think all these three candidates are really good candidates. And I love the idea of Darvin Ham as the Lakers head coach. He's paid his dues. He's been instrumental in the development of players in Milwaukee. He's been instrumental in them becoming a championship team. He'd be great. But the coaching thing aside, the issue is the front office and the roster. I mean, that's the Lakers' issue. I don't know why we're spending so much time talking about the head coach when the organization has just done a terrible job of building that roster.
I understand, JJ, but they're actually looking for a head coach. That's why we got to talk about him.
And you're lucky we don't
have time right now, because I was about to get on your ass like back pockets.
About the Kevin Durant thing. Wait, we'll revisit that.
Kirk is absolutely
I know that struck a nerve with you. I know that struck a nerve with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
NBA talk as we move along, as well as some NBA talk. We come back in Russ We Trust. We will tell you why there is a ton of pressure on Russell Wilson to win this year in Denver when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This NFL season will feature a number of old faces in new places, so we'll ask our folks here what they expect. Sam Acho, what are your expectations for Tyreek Hill in Miami?
I expect defenses to be shocked at what they see. His nickname is Cheetah. You have Cheetah and Jaylen Waddle, both guys who run under 4.4s on the same team, not to mention a dynamic tight end in Mike Gesicki. Defenses will have trouble covering both of these guys down the field. I expect a huge payday, big games for both of these receivers.
Mike Tannenbaum, stick with the receivers. What are your expectations for Davante Adams in Las Vegas?
Production and joy. This was a guy that wanted to get out of Green Bay. Remember, he was franchised and he wanted out. He's reunited with his college quarterback in Derek Carr. We've already talked about how great Josh McDaniels is as an offensive coach. I expect him to have a breakout season and take his game even to a higher level.
Diana Russini, what are your expectations for Russell Wilson in Denver?
Well, Dan, springtime is a time for renewal, and I think we're going to see a renewal in Russell Wilson. I think he's going to completely put the Denver Broncos in a position to have the most success they've had since the Peyton Manning days. They've got the defense. He's got the weapons. He's recharged. He's ready, and we're already hearing great things out of camp.
Somebody who knows Russell Wilson pretty well doesn't agree with you. Diana, KJ Wright, who was Russell Wilson's teammate in Seattle for a long time, offered up his thoughts on the AFC West. He said, I have the Raiders at number one, the Chargers at number two. I got the Chiefs finishing third. I believe the Broncos have some pieces, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to slow down these weapons in this division. It should be noted that KJ Wright played last season for the Las Vegas Raiders. So it's, you know, he has some friends there. He may just be sort of sticking up for his guys. But look, we've talked a lot about this division, how good it's going to be. Someone is going to finish fourth. That's just the way it is. If that's the Broncos, Mike Tannenbaum, what would you think?
It's a big disappointment. There's a massive amount of pressure on Russell Wilson. 230 million reasons there's pressure. That's the amount of guaranteed money in Deshaun Watson's contract. And if Russell Wilson plays well and makes a meaningful run in the playoffs, he's going to be in line to get that extension. Remember, he only has one more year left on his contract. If not, he may just be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. And as Hembo reminded me, Dan, when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, they improved by 5 wins in year one. So there is no honeymoon. This is a massively important year for Russell Wilson, not only on the field, but for compelling economic reasons.
Yeah, they did give up a lot to get him, so the expectation must be relatively immediate success. Sacho, what does that mean, success for the Broncos this year?
Man, I mean, last or second to last. I'm serious. Look at who they play in their division. The LA Chargers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the newly revamped Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, so KJ, in a lot of ways, might be right. The Denver Broncos are excited and happy to have Russell Wilson at their quarterback, but they still have to play a team that won the last six. I'll say it one more time. The last six division titles in the AFC West, which is the Chiefs. And then you have to play a team that's rising with the Chargers, that has been revamped, that has added offensive weapons, offensive line to protect Justin Herbert, re-signed some of their receivers, gotten better on defense. And then who knows what the Josh McDaniels, Devontae Adams, Derek Carr experiment will look like. It could be epic. And so for me, success is not making the playoffs. Success is winning more games than you did last year.
Diana, I mean, am I missing something here? I miss Russell Wilson, right? I mean, making the playoffs is kind of in his DNA. I mean, you buying what these guys are saying about how the Broncos could be third or fourth and it still might be a decent year?
Yeah, I don't think there's a significant amount of pressure. Yes, statistically, we look back at Peyton Manning's first year with Denver, and they already improved by 5 games that season. The honeymoon, there isn't much, as Mike was saying. But I just think already having Russell Wilson there at the quarterback position, a position they have been searching for years. They've had all the different pieces, and they just haven't been able to figure out. Him just being there, his presence, his leadership, everything that he brings, I think is going to put this team in the right direction and point them in the right direction. I mean, he's sitting around watching tape with Peyton Manning. They say they just love enjoying just watching all day long and getting into it. So he just sounds rejuvenated. He's passionate again. I really believe, Dan, this is going to be the best version of Russell Wilson we have ever seen.
Now, I mean, there is, and Mike T referenced this, and I want to go back to you, Mike. You referenced the contract. He's got 2 years left on the contract. I think one of the reasons he's not in Seattle anymore is they looked ahead to what he's going to cost, and they made the decision that they weren't going to pay him that. So can he be that guy? Can he show the Broncos what he needs to show them to get to that level of top-level quarterback money?
Absolutely, and candidly, I'm sure that's what Denver's expecting. When you give up all those players and picks, you have to bake that into your equation for future years that, hey, this is a $45 million a year or more player, and we, again, expect him to take us to where we want to go, which hasn't happened since Peyton Manning's been there. And I think the interesting part of the discussion is the bar is so high in that division, but so are the consequences if they can't get there.
Should be fun. They open up the season with that Monday night game in Seattle, so it'll be fun for Russ to go back to what used to be home. Hang out, guys. I'm going to do some baseball highlights. It is time for weekday walk-offs. First, in Minnesota, the Twins and the Tigers were tied at 4. In the bottom of the ninth, Gio Urshela, the grounder to Javi Baez, can't make the play. Max Kepler scores the winning run. The Twins have won 5 games in a row. In St. Louis, the Blue Jays and the Cardinals tied at 3 in the 10th, and Paul Goldschmidt calls game. Walk-off grand slam as St. Louis wins 7-3. Cardinals won 4 in a row. And in San Diego, the Padres were hosting the Milwaukee Brewers. They're tied at 2 in the 10th. Bases loaded. Jose Azucar with the base hit. Manny Machado scores the game winner. San Diego on a roll. They've won 5 in a row. We come back, a first quarter disaster for Jimmy Butler and the Heat. What on earth happened in Boston last night? We will talk about it with our NBA guys when we come back.